Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
Those of you hanging out with me today, I want to begin with a story. A story from 1921. The story of David and Svea Flood. This was a missionary couple from Sweden. This story begins with this couple and their two-year-old son. They felt God was calling them, leading them to step out on the mission field in the Belgian Congo in the heart of Africa. I have a picture of David and Svea on the screen. They felt God specifically, not just calling them to the Congo, but to go specifically to very remote and rural villages in that region. So they left the mission outpost and set out on their own to a rural area there in the Congo, and they settled on a local village, only to learn that the local village chief would not allow them to live within the village itself. And so what they had to do is they lived about a mile away on the side of a mountain. Their faith was strong. They prayed earnestly that the Lord would continue to give them favor, would make converts, that people would come to know Jesus from this native people. But nothing happened. Their only contact with the village was one small boy who would come twice a week to sell them supplies, milk, eggs, and the daily necessities. That was literally their only contact with the people they felt God had called them to reach. One child. And I would ask you this morning, how would you feel in their position if you had leveraged your whole life, left everything behind, went to the heart of Africa, and you get to see one child twice a week? And how would that land with you? How would you feel? Would you feel frustrated? Desperate? Discouraged? Put yourself in that story. Well, Svea, she made the most of this one opportunity. This one child. She prayed earnestly for this child and loved him, and ultimately he would come to profess and know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. This one small child was the only convert of their ministry so far. To make things even more challenging for the Floods, malaria was becoming more and more widespread in that region of the Congo. Their missionary friends who had come out to that outpost to join them decided to return back to the mission outpost where they could receive treatment, but the Floods stayed. They stayed there in the rural Congo all alone. To make things even more difficult, in the midst of that difficulty, Svea found out she was pregnant. She would go on to give birth to a little girl they would name Ina. Svea, who was already weakened from malaria, she would pass away just 17 days after delivering her daughter. At the age of 27, she left behind her husband and now two small children. David, her husband, dug a crude grave, buried his wife, packed up their few belongings, and returned to the main mission station there in the Congo. And there he would leave his infant daughter behind with other missionaries, and he returned to Sweden with his son. His departing words from the Congo were simply this: God has ruined my life. A man once powerful in faith, filled with conviction, broke down in despair. The complete loss or absence of hope, characterized by a loss of faith, a loss of trust in God's promises, perhaps accompanied by an overwhelming feeling that God has forgotten about you. Or maybe that you've lost everything, or that it's been taken away. maybe a complete loss of desire to do anything. You see, the story of David Flood is just one reminder for us that even the most faithful people can fall in to despair. And I wonder today, how many of you have dealt with despair, perhaps for different reasons, but the same, you would know what it is to feel that dark, heavy, rainy Sunday morning feeling in your soul. Maybe you're there today. 2 weeks ago, Sunday, September the 28th, we were still in this same series. We studied the truth and reality that God's grace is greater than our brokenness. We heard a testimony for our friends, Isaac and Maddie Baker, about how God has transformed. He's used something as severe as a brain tumor to bring about good grace in their lives. We had two central teaching texts that day. They were both in Romans chapter 8, and the first verse was Romans 8:18, and the second was Romans 8:28. And if you were to boil all that down into just one picture, one image, I think it could be this: that life is hard and God is good. Life is hard. God is good. Romans 8:18 says, I consider that our present sufferings, life is hard. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. We're reminded in that one passage that God's grace is working everything out, that His restoration and redemption plan for all of creation, including us, is coming. But we're also reminded that the present that in which we live in is marked by suffering and pain. Life is hard. Just 10 verses later in the same chapter, Paul says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. We see that God's grace is greater than brokenness, that God is good and that He is working even the hard and difficult things. He's working those out for the good of those who love Him. Life is hard. God is good. And today, we're going to talk about that space between. That space right there. Maybe some of you are there today. You know life is hard. You don't need a scripture or a sermon to teach you that. You got it. You believe that God is good. But if you were just going to be honest today, you just haven't seen it yet. You're in the in-between. You haven't seen God transform your situation, the hard thing in your life, for good yet. And perhaps in that space in between, you feel discouraged. Maybe depressed or anxious. Maybe you feel like God's forgotten you. In that space between. Friends, if you find yourself there today, I want you to know that you're not alone. That you're not alone in that space between. And more importantly, God's grace is greater than our despair. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we declare with your scripture, yep, life's really hard, but you are really good. And Lord, in that middle ground today, sometimes we can struggle, Lord. When we don't see it changing, when we don't see the good coming yet. Lord, we might even lose hope. We might feel abandoned. But God, you see us in the space between. Our story's not done because you keep giving us breath. And so, Lord, will you meet us today in that middle space with the hope that only you can bring? In Jesus' name, amen. I want to look at one more story from a man named David who also dealt with despair. This David is found in your scriptures in the Old Testament. This is a story of King David. He lived about 1,000 years before Jesus. He was the king of United Israel before they had divided. As a boy in David's life, he grew up as a shepherd. So he was used to having to defend literal sheep from wolves and bears and enemies. He learned early how to be a defender, a protector, a warrior. As he grew up and aged and matured into manhood, this same boy would come to slay literal giants. This is the David of David and Goliath. That's our story today. He was a man with flaws and battled with sin, and yet the scriptures tell us he was a man after God's own heart. And this man, this David, this fearless leader, was not immune to feelings of despair. Because for all of the triumph that he experienced, he also experienced a lot of difficult, messy stuff. In his younger days, God had told him that he would be king over Israel, but there was just one problem, that Saul was currently king. And Saul was kind of like his boss, you might say, and Saul lost his mind, and he begins to chase David, and for a long season was trying to kill him. Talk about a bad day at work. Years later, David's own son, after he had become king, would betray him and try to eliminate him from the throne. David was on the run from his own family. And in the midst of those seasons of challenge and of difficulty, this great man of faith dealt with despair. You say, Pastor, how do we know? Well, we have some entries from his prayer journal, the Psalms. And that's where our teaching text is going to be today. So I'd invite you to turn there. Psalms 13 is penned by this same David. This mighty warrior, triumphant king, penned these words, praying, crying out to the Lord. Psalm 13, verse 1 and 2, he says, here he doesn't say, he asks, "How long, Lord? Will you forget me forever?" You ever prayed like that? "How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with thoughts day after day and have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? How long?" If you listen to how David's praying and you put yourself there, he's saying, "I feel forgotten." He feels as if God's forgotten him, like he's trying and he just can't seem to find the Lord in the midst of his desperation. He's asking, saying, "Lord, how long is this season? How long is this depression, this trial, this struggle? God, how long is this going to go on?" Wow. Have you ever been there? How long? How long? Lord, how long are you going to hide from me? How long is this anxiety and these runaway thoughts, this depression, this grief? How long, Lord, do I have to stay in this place? Friends, these are questions of despair, of real life, in that in-between space. I wonder today, have you ever felt like God has forgotten about you? Maybe you've searched for him and just feel like you can't find him. Have you ever asked him, "Lord, how long? How long?" You're not alone. We might come into seasons of despair when hard things enter our life. We also might encounter despair and have no idea why. It happened to me a couple weeks ago. I mentioned the service from the 28th or just 2 weeks ago. Man, we laid it out. It was a powerful service. I would encourage you to go back and listen to it. But we talked all about how God's grace is greater in the midst of the hard things, in the midst of brokenness, how he's transforming those things for good. Well, later that day, my family, we had to kind of divide and conquer. They went to a birthday party. I was home alone that afternoon. I decided to go to Grottoes, to the Painter Park there, and walk the track. That's a great little spot. It was a beautiful afternoon, nice weather. But then as I was walking, I began to see dark clouds start to form. Y'all know the ones I'm talking about, right? Like when you see them come on the horizon, you're like, it's getting ready to get wet around here. And sometimes you can even smell the rain before it gets here. Yeah? Well, that was happening that day, except with one notable difference, there was not a cloud in the sky. See, that's how I would articulate to you what was happening in my mind and in my heart that afternoon. Dark clouds were moving fast, and I still cannot explain it to you. If it was a spiritual battle, if it was the remnants of El Paso earlier that day, I don't know what was happening. But I do know, as sure as I'm standing with you today, that dark clouds of despair and depression came on my horizon. And I'm not telling you this story for sympathy or like we're good. I just need to share with you what it can look like, what it's looked like in my life. And those clouds came, and they came fast, and they came with words like everything's going to fall apart. You're not enough. Specific. You should call Pastor Kevin and step down. This was hours after standing in this very spot, studying and preaching and leaning into God's grace. Despair. What that season is teaching me, what I would love for you to hear today, is that knowing all about the truth of God's grace does not prevent you from dealing with despair, depression, and anxiety. You see, that we experience those things, that they come onto our horizon, is not necessarily a lack of faith on our part. We might not be able to prevent what thoughts enter our mind, but friends, when they come, we do have a choice. We have a choice. When they come, we can choose to allow them to stay. We can lean into those feelings, to those taunts of the darkness, and we can stay there and allow despair to become our destination. Or we can fight back. I don't use that term lightly. At one point there in Grottoes, I just looked around and said, Lord, what is happening? Despair. You see, we can choose. We can choose. And we must. Our despair will define your destination. That's really what happened to David Flood, our missionary from the Congo. He left that mission field devastated and despairing. The final departing words was, God has ruined my life. But you see, that wasn't the end of the story. Because God's grace is greater than despair. That infant daughter that he left behind on the mission field was taken in by a missionary couple who would eventually bring her to the United States. They changed her name to Aggie, and here's a picture of that young family. Aggie grew up in South Dakota, about as far from the Congo as you can get, I would imagine. She attended North Central Bible College. She was later married and had two children. One day, just like any other, she went to the mailbox and opened it up, and there inside was a Swedish religious magazine. She couldn't read it, so she decided to just flip through the pages. One photo caught her eye in that magazine. It was a picture of a grave and a white cross, and on that cross was engraved the name Svea Flood. She immediately, recognizing this as her mother, took the magazine to another college faculty member who could translate the story for her. And it turns out this magazine contained a story about missionaries to the Congo, the birth of a baby girl, and the death of Svea Flood, the mother, and one little boy who had received Jesus, who had been saved. But that wasn't the end of the story. You see, this little boy from the Congo grew up loving Jesus and serving Him. He started a school, and there he led all the other students and their parents to know Jesus Christ. He even came to introduce the chief, the village chief, to know Jesus and have a relationship with Him. At the time of the article that Miss Aggie was reading, 600 believers had come to that one village. Friends, God's grace is greater. Aggie, from this place forward, began to seek out her father, David. He lived in Sweden, but despair was his home. He had remarried, he had four children, but his life was consumed by alcohol. He had just one rule, that no one under any circumstance was to mention the name of God in his presence. Because he believed, even in his old age, that God had taken everything away from him. Despair. Undeterred, his daughter Aggie finally got to see him. In what must have been a heartfelt reunion, the father's heart melted. He said, "I never meant to leave you." And she said, "It's okay, Papa. God took care of me." And at the mention of the name of God, his countenance changes and that anger and bitterness reemerges and says, "God took away everything." Aggie interrupted his anger with a story about grace. She was able to share from the article that she had read how 600 people came to be saved from their ministry. "Dad, you didn't go in vain. Mom didn't die for nothing." In that moment, God's grace would overcome and begin to soften his heart. And just weeks before he died, David Flood would repent of his anger and his bitterness and return to a saving relationship with Jesus. God's grace is greater than despair. Friends, the Lord is working. He is working all things together for good for those who love Him, those who have given their life to be lived out and according to His purpose. Friends, the Lord is doing it. And He doesn't want you to miss it. He's doing it. And He doesn't want you to miss it. Don't allow despair. Don't allow despair to become your destination. Don't miss it. We have to press on to hope. And really, hope is what we need. Hope is the opposite of despair. And that's what I'd like to leave you with today. We're going to get really practical. Because I dare say you don't need me to explain despair that much to you. You probably already know. You too have been somewhere and seen the dark clouds come on the horizon of your heart and your mind. And so I want to offer you just some practical tools, some things that we can keep in mind, ways to engage, to press in, to hope. And really, hope's all you got to remember. H-O-P-E, just a simple acrostic. To press in, to hope. That first letter, hope. We got to be honest about our struggle. Be honest about your struggle as we would seek to experience God's grace, as we seek to lean in, to press in the times of despair. We need to be honest about how we feel, about what we're experiencing, and yes, how we're struggling. Because I don't know about you, my favorite confession to people is not, "Hey, I'm struggling." It's just not what I'd like to say, right? Like we try to put things together like we got it all right. Like we're all right. Friends, if we can't be honest about what we're feeling, we're never going to open ourselves up to God's healing. And so as we begin to push our way back to lean into hope, we have to be honest with ourselves and honest with the Lord. And that's really where we go with the letter O, is to open up to God. And that's what I love about Psalm 13, is that this great man of God, this great warrior, this hero of the faith, is pouring out raw, real emotion in the presence of God. He says in verse 3, this is how honest he is. He says, consider me, Lord, like, hey, I'm over here. Consider me and answer, Lord, my God, restore brightness to my eyes, otherwise I'll sleep in death. You know what he's saying? Lord, if you don't come through, if you don't remember me here, I'm not sure I'm going to make it. That's honest. That's honest. And now look, I'm not saying we just barge into the Lord's presence and shake our fist in his face. No, that's not what we're talking about here. But in a place of humility, to go into his presence and trust that he cares and that he loves us and that we can just pour out our heart like we would to a trusted friend or father. That's opening up your heart to the Lord. And you see, we open ourselves up to a place where we can experience grace. Open yourself up to the Lord. As we begin to open and with honesty and openness, friends, we have to take action and start preaching to ourselves. David says in verse 5 of that psalm, but I have trusted in your faithful love. My heart will rejoice in your deliverance. You see what David is doing here. He's poured out the despair. He's poured over the hard things. He's cried out to God, pleading for his intervention. And then he takes this action step of forcing his mind to think about the promises and the presence of God. Because if we don't engage in the battle of our minds, we will ever live in a spirit of despair. We'll never pull out of that slump, out of that darkness. We have to preach to ourselves. We have to begin to put our minds every moment of every day onto the promises of God. We've got to focus our hearts and our minds on the promises and the realities of who God is, because our struggles don't tell the whole story. You say, well, Pastor, how do I do that? Google. It's real easy. If you just put in your search engine bar of your choice, Bible verses that help with despair, click. You've got prayer for days. Because, friends, God's word is full of hope for us. We got to put our mind there. We got to take action. And that's finally that last E, the engage in worship. Because you see, what this is doing is engaging our whole self. We've poured our hearts out to God. We're engaging our mind. We're preaching to ourselves, and now we're going to worship. The last verse of that psalm says, I will sing to the Lord because he has treated me generously. Friends, this is in getting our whole person in the battle. To sing of God's goodness, to declare praise to him that he is worthy. Got to engage in worship. Friends, we can do that through singing. After that Sunday, I think it was the next morning, I just laid on the floor with my face down and earbuds in. Worship. We got to take action. We've got to press into hope. We cannot allow despair to be our destination. Because if, friends, you... Is everybody breathing today? Good? If you're breathing, your story's not done. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are today. God's not done. Lean in. Press back against despair. The band's going to come and lead us in worship. And that's really where our response is going to be today, is just to pray, to lean in. We made little cards with the hope acrostic on them this week. Because I don't know about you, sometimes I need something to hang on to. I need something to put in the fly leaf of my Bible. I need a reminder. And that's what we made. It's real simple. It just has honest, open, preach and engage. And then on the back, it says Psalm 13. So if you're wondering if you can ask questions to God or how you might go about that, David's given us a template. You can make it your own. These are up here at the cross. There's some on the high top tables in the back. As the band leads us in worship, if you need to pray today, if you feel that spirit of despair, go grab one. Start leaning in right now. You don't have to wait. God's grace is greater than despair. Would you stand with me? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, your word says that you ever make intercession for us. You're ever pleading our case. In your name, Lord, we are invited to come boldly before your throne of grace and mercy. Lord, that boldness is what we see happening in Psalm 13. So, Lord, today I pray that you would give us eyes and a heart of hope. Lord, just to feel that spark, to know that as long as you give us breath, that you're not done. You're not done. Lord, none of this is to minimize the real pain or the real challenge, the real anxiety that we might face. It's to offer hope in that in-between space. To take a mustard seed of faith and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I don't see it yet. I don't see how you're going to do it. I don't see what you're going to do, but God, I'm going to trust you. So, Lord, will you come today? Will you come in the greatness of your grace? Lord, come in and bring hope and light and life into those places of despair. We need you, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As the band leads us, I would just invite you to respond however the Lord is leading you. If you need someone to pray with, I would be glad to meet you up here. Don't hesitate to go and grab one of these if you want to start praying Psalm 13 for your life right now. Don't miss it. God's not done. His grace is greater than despair. Let's worship. As Paul Harvey would say, I'd like to tell you the rest of the story. You see, because the story of Aggie's not done. Several years later, after her father had passed away, Aggie and her husband would attend an evangelical conference in England. And at that conference, a report was given by the superintendent from the Congo, the former region of the Belgian Congo specifically. The report said that the church had grown to 110,000 believers. At that good news, after the conference, Aggie searched out the speaker. She went to find him, and when she finally found him, she was just overjoyed and asked him, "Have you ever heard of David and Svea Flood?" "Yes, ma'am. Svea Flood led me to Christ. I was that boy who brought food to your parents before you were born. To this day, your mother's grave and memory are honored by all of us." God's grace is greater than despair. Your story today, friends, is not over. Press into hope. Go in peace and know that you are loved.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.